Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1259. Beginning with the seventh verse, we'll read through verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. We'll read the verses responsively. The text verse is the 12th verse. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I was supposed to make an announcement a while ago, I'm sorry, but Alex Gomez, age 6, is back by the usher station over here in this corner of the building, and he's looking for his father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this service. We're privileged among so many people in this country. We're privileged to be a member of First Baptist Church. And those who visit with us today are privileged to be our visitors, and we're privileged to have them with us. But our privilege is exceptional in that this is a church that stands for thy word and has for these many years. We have a man of God who preaches thy word and has for many years. And we're thy people. We sit at thy table this morning. We pray that thou wouldst furnish us that food which we need for our spiritual lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful privilege. Just to hold this book in my hand, I think of those thousands of letters I've received through these years from people saying, I've always wanted to have a Bible of my own. I think of those people on mission fields that have begged me for a Bible, just to have one. And I hold the words of God in my hands today. How privileged I am. How privileged we are. But not only that, you have called me to expound this scripture. I pray you to help me as I do today to the edification, strengthening, and blessing of the people I love the most. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the apprehended apprehending. The apprehended apprehending. I read for you one verse. You need not turn to it. The Apostle Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. The word apprehended means to lay hold on. It means to search for something till you get it and you hold it out of for dear life. Paul said, something searched after me. Somebody searched after me. Somebody caught me, laid hold on me, and saved me. Now that somebody laid hold on me in order that I may apprehend something else. I was apprehended in order that I may apprehend. Now, I've got to find out that for which I was apprehended and do it. I want to talk this morning on the apprehended apprehending. Father, bless our message today. May I have the ears, the minds, and the hearts of the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me very, very carefully. You were once outside the family of God. Nobody is saved unless they once were outside the family of God. Nobody grew up in salvation. Nobody has been saved since you were born. You were once an alien from the time that you realized that you were a sinner until the time that you personally received Christ by faith, relied upon Him as your hope for heaven. During that period, you were alienated from God. You were lost and God sought you. Somebody said to a little child who just got saved, said, "Have you found Christ?" The little child said, "Didn't even know he was lost. But I was, and he found me." You were sought by him from whom you fled. And he sought you and sought you. He sent someone by your house to knock on your door to tell you that he was looking for you. He sent a faithful preacher to stand behind a pulpit to remind you that he was looking for you. He sent a godly wife or a godly mother or a godly father or a godly husband or a godly friend or a godly brother or a godly sister to tell you that he was looking for you. He wanted to apprehend you. God wanted to lay hold on you. And one day you surrendered. And he got you as his own. And you are what the Bible calls born again. It was not necessarily the day that you got baptized. And it was not because you got baptized. It was not necessarily the time that you took your first Lord's Supper, or if you want to call it communion. It was not necessarily that day because you're not saved because or apprehended because you take communion. You have to personally, by your own will and your own volition, you have to say, "I know I'm a sinner," and mean it. "I know I'm lost. I know I deserve to go to hell. I know Jesus came as God in the flesh, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary, took upon himself all of my sins, charged my sins against his own record, and paid my penalty in full. And because he, after that 72 hours, he rose from the dead, I am this moment trusting him and what he did as my hope for heaven and nothing else." And that moment he found you. You were apprehended. He caught you. He who had been seeking, turn me down just a tad. Ushers, PA men, please, turn me down just a tad, please. He caught you. He apprehended you. He sought you. And when you trusted him, he caught you. Now, you're not going to hell. Boy, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I heard a preacher say the other day, "No need to get excited. You're just going to go to heaven forever. No need to get excited. You're just saved from burning forever. No need to get excited. You just got pulled out of eternal fire." I'm saying now that he apprehended you, and you have been apprehended. You turn me down, please, just a bit. You have been apprehended. You have been sought. You have been caught. And now then, you're not going to hell. If you have not yet been apprehended, you are going to hell. But now that you have been apprehended, you're going to heaven when you die. And anybody in this room this morning who has never taken care of that can take care of it right here and right now this morning. Right where you are, you can say, "I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell. I know the Son of God, the virgin-born, sinless Son of God, went to Calvary and wrote my sins against his record and paid in full the payment for my sins and rose again after 72 hours. And I am trusting him, not my preacher, not my priest, not my pope, not my sacraments, not my baby baptism, not my confirmation, not my baptism, not my communion. I'm trusting Jesus and him alone to take me to heaven." And that moment, you have been apprehended. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's more to it. There is a purpose why God apprehended you. There is a reason. Now listen carefully. God did not apprehend you just to keep you from burning in hell, though that's a part of it. But it's not the main part. God did not apprehend you just to get you to heaven so you could enjoy heaven forever, though that's a part, but it's not the main part. God apprehended you in order that you may apprehend that for which you were apprehended. Let me illustrate. Here I am. Here I am, a young man, a boy, unsaved, down in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas, Texas. And God comes along and tries to get me saved. And I was a tough little guy to get saved. I was not a wicked guy. I did suck my thumb, but that's about all I ever did wrong. And, I did kick my sister in the stomach several times. but I was afraid to get baptized. I was afraid of water. And so I waited 5 or 6 years after I knew I was a sinner before I got saved. And there was God apprehending me and apprehending me and apprehending me. And God was chasing me. And God was trying to get me to lay hold on me. And then one day, just one night, a summer night, August night, outside the Fernwood Baptist Church, going out to a outdoor service that evening behind the church in a vacant lot, I knelt on a little bridge there, going over a little ravine, and I said, if you'll take a poor little son of the neighborhood drunk, and if you'll take a poor little barefoot boy, I'll take you as my Savior. And that moment I was born again. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and shed its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I was apprehended. But there was a reason why that little boy on his knees that day, that night, was apprehended. God apprehended me for a purpose. I did not know it then, but God apprehended me to be a preacher of the gospel. I started to say to stand behind the pulpit, but I'd rather do it anymore. But God apprehended me for the pulpit. God apprehended me. Now, I did not know then, follow me carefully, I did not know then why I was apprehended. So just as with the same zeal with which he sought me and sought me and sought me till he found me, with that same zeal, once I get found, I am to seek and to seek and to seek that for which he sought me. And so one day I sought, why did you save me? What am I supposed to do? What's your will for my life? Well, what is that? And so I apprehended and sought it. And one day I found the pulpit and I apprehended that for which I was apprehended. Now you listen to me. You folks sitting there on your blessed assurance this morning, satisfied just to be saved from going to hell, that's not real Christianity. Well, I'm going to heaven. Well, if that's all you got saved for, that is totally selfish. In God's name, God did not save you to sit there and just believe in Him. God apprehended you for a purpose. And you're supposed to seek that purpose. Why did you apprehend me? And you search with the same zeal that He searched for you, till one day you find the purpose for your life and God's plan for your life. And you finally apprehend and lay hold on that for which He laid hold on you. That's what he means in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on in verse 10 to say, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works. Why did God say? Why did God apprehend you? Why did God search for you and chase you till He laid hold on you? He laid hold on you so you would live a life doing things for other people. He goes on to say, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Several years ago, I was preaching in the Florida Keys, Island Rota, Florida. Pastor had a fellow there who, in fact, he had several fellows there who owned fishing boats. They were captains of a nice fishing boat. They'd take tours out fishing, and one of his fellows said, Dr. Hiles, I'd like to take you and the preacher out deep sea fishing. Well, I'm not much of a fisherman or a hunter. I'm just not. But he said, look, we'll go out and try to catch a sailfish. That's one of those big things that got a long doojigger on the front of it. And sailfish. So we went sailfishing. I was looking and looking. All of a sudden, boy, I felt a tug. And I hooked a big sailfish. 75-pound sailfish. That's what it weighed down there. By the time I got back here, it weighed 150. I had that booger, I mean that sailfish, I had it mounted. And I put it on a wall in my office. It was there for several years, you remember that? And there that big sailfish was on my wall. By the way, I didn't even know it, but I got a letter several weeks later and an award because there was a contest that week as who could catch the biggest sailfish in the Florida Keys. And I didn't know it, but I caught the biggest sailfish down there, and I got an award. You didn't hear what I said, did you? I caught the biggest sailfish, and I won the award. I kept that fish in my office for a number of years, and one day I was walking out, and that fish talked to me. I said, Brother Jack, I looked up, and those eyes I'd seen so many times had tears dropping out of them. And I said, what is it? I said, why did you catch me? I said, for fun. He said, you did not eat me. If you had caught me to eat me, I could understand that. But you caught me just to hang me up here on this wall. And all I'm doing, I haven't nourished anybody at all. I'm just hanging up here on this wall. I said, I never thought about that before. He said, my family's down there right now. There's a tomb water down there in the ocean. My family's thinking about me right now. That thing got talking to me every day. I'd sit at my desk. It's up there in your office now, isn't it? It's still talking? Talking bad about me, but not about you. Honestly, I'm not kidding. I got to where I couldn't look at that thing in the eye. It kept talking to me. And it kept asking, why did you kill me? Kill? I didn't kill you. I caught you. Well, I'm dead, aren't I? Yeah. But look, if you had caught me to feed somebody, to nourish somebody, but that's, and to, honestly, I had to take that thing off the wall. It kept talking to me and talking to me. Roy's got it now. But I couldn't keep it on the wall. And that's the way God looks at you. He looks at you and says, I caught you, but I didn't catch you to hang you up in a pew somewhere the rest of your life. I didn't catch you to put you on a wall. And we got a bunch of mounted Christians here this morning. God has apprehended you and caught you, but you've never done anything for God. You've never won a soul. You have not even thought about the purpose of God apprehending you. There's a reason God saved you. And you're supposed to look and look and look until you reach out and apprehend that purpose for which God apprehended you. And I'm not saying that everybody should be a preacher or a missionary. I'm not saying that. But I want to make some general statements about that. In the first place, no one is to choose a profession because of money. Don't you know what I said, young people? No one is to choose a profession because of money. No one is to choose profession because what kind of house it'll buy you. What kind of car it'll buy you. What kind of conveniences you have. I said nobody's supposed to choose a profession because... Listen, if I stood here this morning and I said, folks, I demand $250,000 a year salary or I am leaving, you would say, then leave. But I've got as much a right to live for money as you do. God's book knows no double standard. Well, you say, I wouldn't have a preacher to preach for money. Okay, it's just as wrong for a layman to lay for money as a preacher to preach for money. God apprehended you for a reason. And what you better do is seek diligently as he sought you to find out the purpose for your existence and why you're here. Observation one, no one has a right to choose a profession because of money. Number two, nobody has a right to choose a profession because of prestige. Well, I've wanted my son always to be a fill-in-the-blank. Well, I've always wanted fill-in-the-blank. God didn't save you for prestige. God saved you to serve him. Number three, nobody has a right to choose a profession because of personal desire. I've always thought I'd like to be a state trooper. Who wouldn't want to be a state trooper? I'd like to get some of these guys back and pull them over for a while. You say it's my life. You read 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20 and you'll find out it's his life. God says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. What he's saying is, I apprehended you. I paid the price. I caught you. Now you're mine, and you're supposed to find out why I caught you and do it. All over America this morning, millions of people are sitting in church services like this, never to worship God, whatever that is, with no thought of why, what God wants them to do. Statement number four. No one is to choose a profession unless it contributes to mankind. Best thing in the world could happen in America right now is for the National American Baseball League to disband. Let all those little greedy young kids playing baseball, not with a stick, knocking the ball over a pasture. Let them go to work for a living. God never intended anybody to make a living playing baseball or football or basketball. Or God intended be a plumber or an electrician or a doctor or a lawyer. No, forget that one. Be a carpenter. Be something that contributes to society. Number five. Each person is to find out why he was apprehended. And number six, he's supposed to do what he was apprehended to do. Illustration. I know a carpenter who one day a week finds a poor person. Boy, I'm going to give you some ideas right now that could change your life. I know a carpenter who gives one day of his week to repair somebody's house who's poor or a shut-in. One day a week. Doesn't make a dime. Now, see, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That carpenter has apprehended why God apprehended. I'm saying God can lead you to be a carpenter. But God leads you to be a carpenter so you can do good works for God. The illustration. I know an older lady, real old, 67. I know a lady probably 80 who babysits each week for some struggling young couple that can't afford a babysitter. You call that good works. You call that apprehending that for which you have been apprehended. Illustration. I know a mechanic who once a month repairs a poor person's car. A mechanic, I know him well. How many of you need your car repaired? Raise your hand. How many of you are poor? Would you raise your hand? You're also liars. He doesn't repair liars' cars at all. But once a month. Now what's he doing? He was created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God... But you said for the house, I never run across anybody that's poor. Don't you tell me that. Bible doesn't say run across them. Bible says pursue them. Apprehend them. Look for somebody to help. Illustration. I know a doctor who gives free treatment to one person a month. But he's poor. He takes a poor person once a month. I used to know a doctor down in Florida who one day a week did nothing but treat poor people. Illustration. By the way, I'm glad Dr. Patton's here this morning. That man's found out the purpose of life. A doctor. Medical doctor. He could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Maybe $1 million a year. Down in the mission field, helping people that can't help themselves. What is it? God one day said, I want to save you, Patton. I want to save you. And God apprehended him, and he trusted the Savior. And then Patton said, okay, I've got to apprehend that purpose for which I was apprehended. And he laid hold on it, and it's time that you decided to lay hold on why God laid hold on you. Illustration. I know a lawyer named David Gibbs, one of the best men I know. Dr. David Gibbs went to law school. God apprehended him and saved him because of a godly mother and father and others. He said, now, I believe God wants me to be a lawyer. He goes to law school. He gets his law degree. Now, he had not planned yet why he got that law degree. He's got to apprehend what to do with that law degree. And one day, he realized that God wanted him to be a legal missionary. And he apprehended, he laid hold. By the way, when Jesus laid hold on you, you can't get out. John 10:27-30 says he holds you in his hand. And his Father holds you in his hand, and you ain't getting go loose. And you're supposed to hold on to that that God has apprehended you for with the same tenacity that God holds on to you to keep you saved. Every Christmas Day, David Gibbs is not with his family. David Gibbs, every Christmas, he represents preachers that have problems with the law, falsely accused, and churches have lawsuits against them. Every Christmas Day, David Gibbs takes some toys and gifts that he shopped for and goes to some prison somewhere or some jail somewhere and spends his Christmas Day in jail. Because nobody can visit the jailers on Christmas Day except their lawyers. So because he's a lawyer, he can get in the jail. And he spends Christmas Day with the fella in jail. You folks trying to make money. God pity your souls. God didn't put you here to make money. God put you here to apprehend the thing for which you were apprehended. Find what he put you. Forget your own will. Forget your own desire. Find out why he saved you. And then do it. Most any profession could do it. Doctor. Lawyer. Plumber. Carpenter. Electrician. Baker. Nurse. Painter. House cleaner. Restaurant owner. Landscaper, barber, hairdresser. Anybody could do it. You could decide that you're going to give a portion of your time doing your profession doing good works which God hath before ordained that you should walk in. In a few days, about 6 weeks, in fact 6 weeks exactly, I'll be 68. 68 from 70 is 2. That's an accomplishment for a fellow 68, remember that. It's 2. I am 2 years and 6 weeks from having lived my 70. I have peace about one thing. Brother Roy, I have apprehended that for which I was apprehended. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is life's greatest accomplishment. Did you hear what I said about that millionaire? Won't you come lay your money on the altar? I'll get it after the service. And I'll see it does more good than what you've got it doing too, by the way. Did you hear that, young person? Giving your life to trying to make all the money you can or do what you think you'd have fun doing? Did you hear that, professional basketball player? I don't care if you make $25 million and have a house the size that Michael Jordan is building right now, 29,000 square feet. You got more square footage in your feet than that. I don't care if you become the most prestigious man in the world. I don't care if you have more fun, more ha-ha and whoopee and rah-rah than anybody that ever lived. I don't care if you do not apprehend that for which you were apprehended. You are a flop. And if you do apprehend that for which you were apprehended, the thing for which God chased you and laid his hands on you to do, and then you sought diligently to find why he did it, until you find why you were apprehended and you apprehend that for which you were apprehended. Ladies and gentlemen, you may die and be buried in pauper's field. You may die and not leave a dime to those who are your heirs. You may die hated by society. But if you die having apprehended that for which you were apprehended, you have been the greatest success and accomplished the greatest accomplishment that can be accomplished by human beings. My mother's body lays out in our mausoleum. She died a pauper. She died and didn't leave us anything but bills. Thanks be to the John Ault who helped us so much. We didn't go bankrupt. My mother didn't leave a stock or a bond or even one green dollar bill. But when my mother breathed her last breath out there while they were singing Victory in Jesus at the clinic at Howells Anderson College, the angels and the Savior who created them welcomed her home and said, "Welcome home, Costell. You apprehended that for which you were apprehended." You reared 2 children, both of them in full-time Christian service. You're a preacher boy. I contend, my dear friend, you'll never in this world accomplish anything comparable to having realized how that God apprehended you and God sought you and finally you trusted him and he laid his hands on you. And then you say, thank God I'm not going to go to hell. Thank God I'm going to heaven. But there's more to it than that. God saved me for a purpose. Now, I'm going to chase that purpose just like he chased me. I'm going to seek for that purpose just like he sought for me. And I'm going to find that purpose. And I am going to do it. Greatest accomplishment? Babe Ruth hitting 60 home runs. Ted Williams batting .406. Eisenhower winning the war in Europe. MacArthur the war in the East. Biggest accomplishment? Jonas Salk. Polio fighter. Biggest accomplishment? Any single person who has trusted Jesus and let Jesus put his hands on you and who has sought the purpose of that until you've done it. It's time that hundreds of you decided this morning to realize he apprehended you so you may apprehend that for which you were apprehended. Our Heavenly Father, forgive the folks who are walking out now.